Thank you, Francis, and good morning. Lovely to see some old and new faces here again this morning. May we pray before I begin. Lord God, I pray that you will open our hearts and minds to your teaching and to the changes we face in life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as Francis has said, the title of this morning's talk is Facing Change. And I'm sure that we've all been affected by change in some way in our lives, and perhaps many times. And no doubt it's something that's going to go on affecting us as we go through life. So we have all of the exciting types of changes, like getting a new job maybe, moving house, moving to a new area. I know that Leslie and Neil have recently done that in moving here. Getting married, as Chris and Emily will be doing in June here at St Andrews. There's also becoming parents or grandparents, thinking about going off to university, or becoming a Christian. That's a change that's affected every single one of us at some point in our lives, and it goes on affecting us every day. But of course, there's also the devastating changes to face in life, such as losing a job or a livelihood, facing a serious illness, losing a loved one, and we know how that feels right now. Then there are the changes that affect our whole society, such as the changes that have been brought about by the pandemic. And how can I not mention the catastrophic changes faced by the Ukrainians, who are being forced to leave their homeland and becoming refugees? We, of course, continue to hold them in our prayers. Well, I wonder how many of you have heard the expression that the hardest thing about change is not so much accepting the new, but rather it's letting go of the old. Put it another way, change is not the problem. Resistance to change is the problem. And earlier this week, Mo told me of a book by Spencer Johnson, which is about resisting change. It uses the character of a mouse, and it's called Who Moved My Cheese? Well, facing any form of change is, of course, challenging. Letting go of what's familiar, stepping out of our comfort zone, and stepping forward into the unfamiliar. And that can be tough. It takes great courage to face change. But it also takes humility to accept or to adapt to the new circumstances, the new environment, the new people, the new way of life. And change can be a real blessing. But that requires us to embrace the new circumstances and to engage with them much more fully. And it's always helpful to do that graciously rather than grudgingly. But above all, when we face change, we need to put our trust in God. So facing change isn't easy. No one says that it is, but there are some valuable lessons and some valuable teaching in the Bible that we can learn from. And those are changes where people resist change and also change where it's fully embraced. So let's have a look at one or two of those now, but starting with our reading from Isaiah this morning, which, as Francis said, is on page 682 if you want to follow it. This passage in Isaiah paints a picture of what God did for the Israelites when he rescued them from slavery in Egypt and he took them on the journey to the promised land. And in the opening verses, we're reminded of how God miraculously parted the Red Sea so that the Israelites could cross and escape from their enemy, the Egyptian army, who were extinguished, quenched like a wick as the sea closed behind the Israelites. And in the closing verses of this passage, we see God's promise to the Israelites that he will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the deserts to give drink to his chosen people. So he's going to take care of them physically and spiritually. But it's the middle section of this reading that helps us with today's topic of facing change. God says, Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Well, surprise, surprise, the Israelites don't perceive it. Instead of trusting God and accepting the new life that God has promised them with humility and graciousness, they grudgingly moan and groan. They don't perceive a new thing springing forth, a new beginning, a new future. Instead, they keep looking back to Egypt, wishing they'd never left. And although they knew that if they went back to Egypt, they would go back to being slaves again, that was at least familiar circumstances to them compared to the unfamiliar circumstances they were now facing in the desert. So instead of embracing the future that God was promising them, their hearts dwelled in the past when they sat by the flesh pots and ate their fill of bread, it says in Exodus 16. So the Israelites resisted change, and as a consequence, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, by comparison, we've just studied the book of Ruth here in church and in our life groups. And there we saw how Ruth faced the enormous change of moving from her homeland in Moab to live with Naomi in Judah. But Ruth didn't resist that change at all, and in fact, she didn't just accept it either. She fully embraced her new home, new neighbours, new circumstances. She threw herself into gleaning in the wheat fields, and so that she could provide a living, provide food for Naomi. And she did that with humility and graciousness. We don't read in the book of Ruth about her looking back to her life in Moab and wishing she were back there. Instead, she embraced the change and trusted God for his plans for her. And that attitude brought about great blessings. Well, if we think about the early days when Jesus came and when he found the disciples in Luke chapter 5, he tells them that they're going to be fishers of men rather than fishers of fish. And they just leave their boats, leave their nets, and they follow him, fully accepting this enormous change to their lives. And likewise, when Jesus invites Matthew to follow him, Matthew immediately leaves his tax booth and he leaves his lucrative, probably a bit dodgy, career as a tax collector and follows Jesus. But like Ruth, Matthew doesn't just accept this new way of life, he fully engages with it and he uses his skills of recording tax transactions to record the events of Jesus' ministry, which of course we now have as the Gospel of Matthew. So these are some of the accounts of some of the people in the Bible who embraced change. But if we turn to Mark chapter 10, we read the story of the rich man who asked Jesus what he must do to gain eternal life. And Jesus tells him that as well as what he's already doing in keeping all of the commandments, he must go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But we know that when the rich man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. He couldn't change. While he wanted to accept the new, he just couldn't let go of the old. And perhaps that's one of the biggest challenges we face when we become followers of Jesus. Can we let go of our previous way of life? Can we adapt to the new way of life to be more Christ-like in every way? It takes courage to step into what is the unfamiliar in the early stages. And it also takes humility to trust God and to accept that God's way may be better for us than our own. On that point, I love the example from Luke 5. When Jesus does first meet Simon and James and John the fishermen, they've been fishing all night. They haven't caught a thing. And Jesus tells them to put out into the deep water and let their nets down for a catch. And Simon, who becomes Peter, answers, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing." And then this is the key moment. Simon Peter says, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Well, then, of course, they catch so many fish that they have to WhatsApp their friends or whatever they did in those days to bring more boats to deal with the catch. But that took real humility from big, burly Peter the fisherman to accept that despite his own many years of experience doing this, that Jesus might know better. Everything changes when Jesus enters the picture. As God says in our Isaiah reading, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" And that's what Jesus is explaining in our gospel reading from Matthew 9. Things are different now. There's a new normal springing forth. Jesus' presence in the world changes everything. The old rules have been superseded. The old and the new don't mix. And that's why Jesus chooses those very familiar illustrations to make the point. Don't try putting a new patch of cloth onto an old cloak. And don't try putting new wine into old wineskins. It just won't work. Start afresh with everything new. And don't look back to the old. And again, we're reminded of that in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he urges them to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. So there are many examples in the Bible of people facing change and their response to it, and I'm sure you can think of many more too. Facing change is hard, but the Bible also teaches us that there are two amazing things that we can hold on to in times of change. The first is that whatever circumstances, turmoil, or unfamiliarity we're facing, Jesus never changes. I hope you'll notice, we've already sung one hymn, but noticing the words of our hymns today, which are very much based on words of Scripture. That first one, "Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ." And in a short while, we'll be singing the words, "O Christ the same, through all our story's pages, our eternal Lord, unchanging still amid the passing years." And one of my favourites will be closing the service with the wonderful words, "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm." Jesus is our rock, unchanging in our times of change. Well, the second amazing thing for us to hold on to in times of change is that we don't face it alone. The Holy Spirit gives us the courage and the humility that we need to face change. And over time, the Holy Spirit will change us to adapt to the new circumstances and to be able to fully embrace them. There's no doubt we have each been affected by our own personal circumstances of change. But perhaps the change that has affected all of us, all at the same period of time, is of course the pandemic. This has taken people's jobs, livelihoods, loved ones, and it's taken our confidence. Everything has changed. The way we shop, the way we socialise, the way we travel, the way we do church, with live streaming and screens and drafts from the south and the west doors. But all of these have been necessary to keep us safe and to keep us worshipping together as a community of faith and to keep us connected. We have to accept these changes, but have we done so graciously or grudgingly? I can't tell you how many times I've heard the expression over the last couple of years, or how many times I've said it myself, I have to confess. Oh, I'm looking forward to when life goes back to normal. But that in itself is a paradox, isn't it? How can we look forward to life going back? Life will never be quite as it was, and hence the expression, the new normal. And hard though it may be, we need to adapt to the changes that we face. They may not all be bad. While I'm speaking just about a response to the pandemic, I have to say that I read this recently. This is David Bracewell's most recent book, This Unbearable Holiday. And it's all about the pandemic and how change has come about and how we should respond as we come out of the pandemic. Brilliant, well worth a read. I recommend it. But now I just want to close with a summary about what facing change requires of us. What do we need to do? Well, to face change, we need courage. That's true of any phase, whether that's the joyful things that we're doing in our lives, going off to university, whatever it may be, and also the difficult changes. But we need courage. And setting out on our journeys as Christians, we need courage. We also need humility to do things in a new way, to recognise that our way may not be the best way, that Jesus actually knows better for us. We need to accept and adapt to the new circumstances, whatever they may be. Just changing how we deal with situations, changing how we deal with people. And not looking back. As Paul urged the Philippians, don't look back, just stay focused on the road ahead. And we need to face change graciously, like Ruth, and not grudgingly like the Israelites. And we need to fully engage with our new circumstances using our gifts like Matthew, the tax collector. And above all, we need to trust God in everything. Let's never forget that Jesus is our rock, unchanging in times of change. And that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to fill us and to carry us through whatever change we may be facing. So as we go out from here this week, will we resist change or will we embrace it? So instead of the book, Who Moved My Cheese? Wouldn't it be great for us to write the sequel saying, the old cheese is gone. Shall we find new cheese and enjoy it together? Amen.